Let the wives be subject to their own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. I didn't write this. Besides, this is a blessing. This is a blessing for you wives out there. This is good. It's not an evil thing. This is a good thing. Wives, be subject to their own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. And this is the way it is, even as Christ is the head of the ecclesia. Hi, Martin Zender here, bringing you very unpopular news from the Word of God. It's unpopular in modern society, but as you can probably tell, modern society is going to hell in a handbasket. So why would we want to continue to run our lives in accord with modern society? Yeah, it's not working. Now, I often wonder why Paul didn't go into verse 25 first. Husbands, be loving your wives. Because really, this is a key to why wives would be subject to their husbands. We're not asking wives to be subject to ogres or subject to football-watching, knuckle-dragging morons, video-playing, drooling bits of Cro-Magnon waste. No, we're asking wives to be subject to husbands who love them according as Christ also loves the ecclesia. Now, yesterday I left you with a very interesting thought that God gives that which is deficient more exceeding honor. And I quoted to you 1 Corinthians 12:24. This is the reason I gave you of why husbands were given the place as headship. Many people think, well, wives can multitask. Why women are much smarter in many areas, and they can do many more things efficiently. Why not make them heads? Because God wants the man to be the head. Well, okay, if it makes you women feel better, and it should, God gives to that which is deficient more exceeding honor. Let's go to that passage. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:24. Let's start with verse 20. 1 Corinthians 12:20. Yet now there are indeed many members. And again, I'm drawing an analogy here between the body of Christ and between husband and wife, who are both in the body of Christ. They each have their respective roles, divine roles, God-given roles, that is going to work for their betterment, for their good. You dispense with this divine order to your own detriment at your own risk. Yet now there are indeed many members, yet one body. 1 Corinthians 12:20. Yet the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Look what Paul's doing here. He's starting with the eye. The eye would be apt to say to the hand, I have no need of you. Because the eye says, without me, you, hand, don't even know what to grab. So I, the eye, am far more important. But the eye can't say that to the hand. Because the hand says, well, I'm grasping what you're seeing, so you can't dispense with me either. Yet it is true we deem the eye more important than the hand, but in the body of Christ this isn't the way it is. And neither shall the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. The head is at the top, feet are at the bottom. So the feet are no good. So the head says to the feet, we don't need you. If you watch television sitcoms today, which I don't, I've just heard rumors, husbands are being painted as idiots. Men are being painted as dolts. They're being portrayed as dolts. They're not. Now, don't swing my teaching here the other way, that God gives to the deficient more exceeding honor. I say Eve is Adam 2.0. It doesn't mean that she's way better than him. It means she's a little better than him. There's a slight imbalance there. There's always imbalance in God's universe. The high-pressure cell goes toward the low-pressure cell. Nobody's equal in the Word of God. Have you ever noticed that? There are free men, there are slaves, there are husbands, there are wives. There is good, there is evil, there are kings, there are subjects. And this is always going on in the Word of God in order to teach us things. If everything was equal, then we wouldn't have this lesson. If everything was good and nothing was evil, where's an opportunity to show grace, right? In order to show grace, we have to have good and evil. So this contrast has to exist. In order to show headship, in order for a woman, for instance, to learn to be humble because she's so gifted, then she has to be subject to her husband. In order for a husband to be able to imitate Christ, he has to be made less than Christ, and he attains to Christ. He attains to the example of Christ. All this inequality is meant to exercise us, to develop our characters. And we do that with each other. This is boot camp, as my friend Herb Dirks used to say. We're in boot camp. Now, Paul has just said that the head would tend to say to the feet, I have no need of you, but that's improper. Much rather, he says in verse 22, those members of the body supposed to be inherently weaker are necessary, and which we suppose to be more dishonored part of the body, these we are investing with more exceeding honor, and our indecent members have more exceeding respectability. Now, the reason I put men in this category is our indecent members. You know, men seem to be the indecent ones. We're the ruffians. We're the ones with no table manners. We can't put the toilet seat down. And we sometimes burp at mealtimes. It's despicable, I know. And we talk with our mouth full and all these things. Women are dainty, you see. And yet we are invested with more exceeding honor because we're supposed to be the indecent members. And women are so refined, you see. But no, God has given men this job. Now, we're going to get back to the feet here, interestingly enough, when we see the deportment of the husbands toward the wives. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5 now. So the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the ecclesia, verse 23, and he is the savior of the body. And the husband is also the savior relatively of the wife. Husband is to give up his life for his wife if necessary. Nevertheless, as the ecclesia is subject to Christ, thus are the wives also to their husbands in everything. Again, not popular teaching. Oh, I want to go to another verse. I want to go to Titus 2:4 concerning this, these wives being subject to their husbands. Let's go to Titus 2:4. Let's start with verse 1. Now you be speaking what is becoming. I'm in Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Now you be speaking what is becoming to sound teaching. The aged men are to be sober, grave, sane, sound in the faith, in love, in endurance. The aged women, similarly, in demeanor, as becomes the sacred, not adversaries, nor enslaved by much wine. Apparently you can be enslaved by a little wine, just not much wine. Teachers of the ideal, that they may bring the young wives to a sense of their duty to be fond of their husbands, fond of their children, okay? Fond of their husbands. I said to you earlier that I think women by default love their husbands, but they're added the extra emotion to be fond of their husbands. Fondness, the Greek word philia, is to be distinguished from agape, the Greek word for love. Agape is love that does not consider the worthiness of its object. It just loves because it is love. Philia, however, that's the Greek word here that's translated fond in the Concordant version. Philia looks for worthiness in its object. Philia only likes you if you're worthy. So not only do wives love their husbands, but this is really a charge to the husbands. They're fond of them, and they can only be fond of them if the husbands do something worthy to be fond of. Love is irrespective of behavior. Fondness is an added thing that wives are to have toward their husbands, but they can't have this unless the husbands are fond-worthy. So really, this is a charge for the husbands. The sense of duty to be fond of their husbands, this depends on the husbands to do something worthy of fondness. Fond of their children, sane. Wives are to be sane, chaste. That's not C-H-A-S-E-D. Well, some of them are chaste, especially if they wear, intimate nightwear. They can be chaste around the house. But here is particularly spelled C-H-A-S-T-E, which means something far different. What does that mean? Oh, yeah, it just means pure. Just be pure. And you can still be pure in a black negligee. I'm convinced of it. Domestic good, subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. This is one of my main themes throughout this whole series on marriage. The word of God is blasphemed if wives are not subject to their own husbands. Now, don't worry, I'm going to be getting to what husbands are supposed to be doing. Now, it's tough for the wives if the husband is a jerk. I know that. Now, we're going to give the ideal exhortation to the husbands here in a minute, but the word of God may be easily blasphemed by a wife who's not subject to her husband. It happens, and this is a concern. This is my concern for marriages. This is my hatred of divorce, because somebody looks at the couple who is divorcing, especially when they're believers, and it's like, well, what are you doing? You're believers. You trust the word of God, and yet you're going against the very word of God. And Christ can't be separated from his body, yet you're separating from your husband. The word of God is being blasphemed. It's coming into disrepute, and Paul is concerned about this. This is in the New Testament, okay? Again, we're not throwing law back at you, but this stuff is important. Okay, now you husbands, You're supposed to be loving your wives according as Christ also loves the ecclesia and gives himself up for its sake. Wow. As Christ loves the ecclesia. And this is the main thing. I want to start talking about this in detail on the next program. But Christ, we're going to look at the behavior of Christ. We're going to look at how he ported himself in Philippians chapter 3. He was seated at the right hand of God in heaven, and yet he came down to serve. He girded himself to serve. Husbands, this is to be your disposition toward your wife. You are as the head. He, in a sense, lays down his headship, in a sense, and he takes the form of a slave, and he serves the ecclesia. This is what Christ does. He takes the form of a slave. We're going to look at this in detail tomorrow. Takes the form of a slave, and he serves the ecclesia. Likewise, husbands are to do this toward their wives. And I think if husbands did more of this and looked toward the example of Christ, which we're going to do in the next session here, then it would be a lot easier for the wives to be subject to their husbands. Nevertheless, wives are still supposed to be subject, and blessed is the wife whose husband loves her in accord with the way Christ loved the ecclesia. This is a great truth here. Paul calls it the secret of marriage. We're going to delve more deeply into it tomorrow. We got a good start on it today. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, be subject to and fond of your husbands. And husbands, while you're at it, give them something to be fond of. This has been Martin Zender. See you here tomorrow.